Okay, we are up to Perek Ches, Mishnah Vav, Chapter 8, Mishnah 6 of Maseches Yevamos. Says the Mishnah, Sris Chama Kohen Shenasa Bas Yisrael. If you have a Kohen who is what we call a Sris Chama, right, that's someone who is sterile, a Kohen who is sterile from birth, and he marries a Bas Yisrael, a regular daughter of an Israelite, Machila Batruma, then he enables her to eat truma, meaning she's allowed to eat truma as his wife. So the understanding is that even though you do have a kohen who, if he became sterile, he was a sris adam through like an injury of another person, so he can't marry a bas yisrael of proper lineage, and therefore he would disqualify her, meaning he would not enable her to eat truma. This kohen is a sris chama, he's sterile from birth, and he is allowed to marry her, and he doesn't disqualify her, meaning he enables her to eat truma. Okay, weiter. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon say, Androgen Kohen Shenasa Bas Yisrael, if you have a Kohen who's an androgynous, right, he has both female and male parts, so if he marries a regular Bas Yisrael, Machila Bat Shuma, then he enables her to eat truma, meaning the marriage is chal, unbelievable, and he is able to then, just like his a regular wife would for a kohen, he enables her to eat truma. And so, in other words, that these tanaim basically hold that an androgynous or hermaphrodite is considered a male, and he's therefore allowed to marry a woman. So his wife can therefore eat truma like anyone else's, like any other kohen's wife. Okay, now Rabbi Huda says tumtum shenikram v'nimtza zachar. If you have a tumtum, someone who's born with is no part. Parts. What that basically means is that he has like some sort of a membrane that covers his parts, so you just don't know what he is. But his skin, it was ripped open, it was torn open, so that it's clear what the private parts that he has are. And it's found that he has male organs, so he's a male. So lo yachlos, he still doesn't do yibum with his brother's wife, v'pneishu kasaris, because he is unable to have children and is therefore considered sterile. He's considered a saris, and therefore he doesn't do chalitza, and obviously not yibum. She's just assumed to be putzer if he is the only living brother, because he cannot reproduce. Okay, fine. Weiter. Androgynous nose says the mission. Androgynous is considered a man, so that he can marry a woman. Right, that's the understanding. But he is not allowed to be married to a man, right? So he's allowed to marry some people, that's a woman, but he can't marry some people, and that means he cannot marry a man. Why? Because the understanding is that if two men are together, this would be an Isser Skila, and as a result, the man and the androgynous would end up getting this punishment when they had the relation, when they had relations, whether they did it with his male parts or his female parts, right? The male parts we definitely understand. The female parts is the Chiddush according to the Tanakh. Even if this androgynous uses his female parts to have relations with this other complete man, still, they're going to be stoned, and therefore, anyway, so an androgynous can marry a man, but he can't marry a woman. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer, remember, Rabbi Eliezer says to finish up the perek, androgynous chayavim alav skila kazachar. That no, seemingly Rabbi Eliezer agrees with the Tanakhama's opinion that some androgynouses can marry that an androgynous can marry a man, but he can't marry a woman. But he disagrees in terms of punishment. Rabbi Eliezer says that men who have relations with an androgynous are going to be liable to stoning only if they do this as they would with a man, meaning they have real proper mishkav zachar, which means they use both, obviously the man uses his parts, but the androgynous specifically uses the male parts. If the androgynous uses his female parts, then the assumption is that it's not going to be an issue of regular mishkav zachar. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So he's a little bit more lenient than the Tanakhama. Okay, that brings us to the end of this Mishnah and the end of the Perek as well. Now let's begin chapter 9, Mishnah Aleph. So this opening Mishnah basically says that there are different categories of people that you can have a situation where if someone marries someone that the other one, that the brother can't do yibum. Sometimes you have marriages that are prohibited actually, but the yavam is permissible to the widow. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Yesh mutaros levalein v'asuros levmehen. There are basically, we're going to see four sets of relationships. Some women who are going to be permitted to their husbands, but are forbidden to their yavams, meaning their husband's brothers, and so then therefore they can't do yibam with them after their husband dies. Mutaros liyav mehen vasuros levalehen. Some who are permissible to their yavams, even though they were forbidden to their husbands, unbelievably. Mutaros la'ilu v'la'ilu. Some who are permissible to both their husbands and their yavams as well. That's probably you would assume the most common case, most likely. the asuras la'ilu v'la'ilu, and there are some who are forbidden to both their husbands and also to their yavams as well. Says the Mishnah defining the first category, v'ilu motaras la'balei and v'asuras la'ivmehan. These are the women who are permissible to their husbands but are forbidden to their yavams. Who's that? Kohen hedyo shenasa es ha'almana. For example, if you have an ordinary kohen, he marries an almana. He marries a widow. A regular kohen is allowed to marry a widow, but we said a case like this previously. So he's allowed to marry her, but v'yishlo ach kohen gadol. He has a brother who's a kohen gadol who can marry a widow. So thus, they can do yom together, even after the brother, even though if he wasn't the kohen gadol, he in theory would be able to. A regular kohen could marry the almana, but since he's a kohen gadol who can marry an almana, so he cannot do yibam with her in such a situation. Says the Mishnah of Vayter, chalal shenasa kishira. Let's say you have a chalal, right? So that means you have one of the brothers who's married to a woman, and he has the kohen lineage, but it got messed up, so he's not a kohen. It doesn't function like a kohen. It's called the chalal. And so you have a chalal who marries an eligible woman, meaning he marries a regular Jewess who he's allowed to marry, but let's say she's divorced. And let's say she's you can make up a whole list of all the things that are permissible to a regular Yisrael, which is how he's treated for these purposes, but are not permissible to a regular kohen. So let's stay with a simple case. He marries a divorcee. So if you have a chalal who marries a divorcee, which he's totally allowed to do, but v'yishlo ach kasher, he has a brother who is actually a full-fledged eligible kohen, so he can't do yibam with this wife rather, because she was married to a chalal, and even that he would not be able to be married to her, and so he can't do yibam with her even after the brother is dead. Yisrael shanasa bas Yisrael. Or, right, so just to clarify, so the previous case, in other words, what we're saying is that even if you have a chalal who marries forget about a divorcee, or a chalal who marries a regular Jewess, nothing, no issues for kahuna at all, but she marries a chalal, and then she falls to Yibam to his brother, who's a full-fledged kohen, so we're saying that she can't marry him. Why? Because he was married to she was married to a chalal, and that in of itself will prohibit her from being able to be married, or to do Yibam with the brother after her husband's death. Yisrael shenasa bas Yisrael. And let's say you have a Yisrael who marries a regular bas Yisrael, v'yishlo ach mamzer, but he has a brother who's a mamzer, which could happen, obviously. So, unfortunately. So, the brother, the one who is married to the woman, he has a totally kosher lineage, so he can marry the woman, but the mamzer brother can't marry the wife, because he's a mamzer, and a mamzer can't marry a regular Yisraeli, so they cannot do yibam after the death of the husband, and also mamzer shenasa mamzeris. If you have a mamzer who's married to a mamzeris, which of course that's allowed, it's a beautiful way for them to be able to find companionship in a very difficult situation. So the mamzer who marries the mamzeris, who is permissible to him, Yishlo Achishal, but he has a Jewish brother who is a regular Jew who doesn't have any sort of baggage of the psula of being a mamzer, so he can't marry the mamzeris, and so he cannot do yibam with her after the brother is dead. Mutaros the bale and vasuris leave him mehen. So the Mishnah concludes again by reiterating how it began. All these women are permissible to their husbands, but are forbidden to their yavams. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Aleph of Perek Tes. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Beis. For now, we'll stop right here.